All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is Dr. Will Tuttle here, and I'm delighted to be with you. We're in Florida. I hope you can hear me okay and that you're all doing well. It's good to see. We're a little bit fewer people than normal right now. Maybe we'll have some more folks joining us soon. I'm not sure what's happening in the universe. But it's great to see you, and we have a surprise guest. I didn't know she was going to be joining us until just a few minutes before our meeting, but we're very honored to have with us the one and only rowdy girl, Renee Hingsanen from Texas, with the Sanctuary, and a fantastic new documentary film that we just watched a few days ago called Rowdy Girl. We're going to be talking about that. So I'll just keep letting some folks in here. And we'll begin our time with our meditation, as we normally do. So the good news is that I'm going to just, say the date and so forth. So today is Thursday, January 19th, 2023. And this is our third Thursday World Peace Diet call. We're in our 12th year, I believe it is, of doing this every single month since 2011. And so it's fantastic to be able to meet like this. And this is a safe space for us to ask questions and to talk about the issues that are facing us in the vegan community. So thank you, Davi, for joining us all the way from London, and for your happy new lunar year to you all. I guess the new lunar year, she says, starts on Sunday. So we've got the Chinese New Year coming up soon also, I think at the end of this month, according to our good friend Lisa Wong, who's with us here in Florida, as is Joy Grace. And oh, yeah, there she is. All right. So, yeah, so we're at Hippocrates Health Institute now for few weeks. I think we're now in our fourth week, maybe. And it's an amazing place. You all have heard me talk about it in the past, I think. But it's a really remarkable healing center that's based on vegan principles, pretty much 95% raw, probably 80% sprouts. And we see amazing things happening, people coming in with arthritis and cancer and diabetes and obesity and all these things. And in a three-week program, they make tremendous progress. We met a guy the other day, in just 10 days, he lost 35 pounds. it's great to see this kind of progress being made here. And it's such a beautiful place. I mean, it's like a jungle. So it's very lush and lots of fountains and lakes and great food and lots of exercise. And so we're giving lectures. I gave a lecture here last night on the five levels of health, and we're doing a concert on Sunday, so we're keeping pretty busy with things, and we'll be here for another few weeks, and then we're heading on over to down to the Keys, and then over to Southwest Florida. So the next time, on the first Thursday of the month, actually we'll still be here, actually on the first Thursday for our meditation, we'll still be here in West Palm Beach, but then after that we'll be heading on to other parts of Florida, that we always do. And then I'll go ahead and then I'll introduce Renee, and we can hear a little bit from her about this fantastic new film that she has been working hard producing and creating, and what the impact of that can be on our world, which I think is really important. So, and we have a lot of people, of course, that listen and watch this later on the recording. So we say hello to all you folks who are going to be on the recording. All right, so I'll go ahead and get started. I think we're ready to go here. Let's just take a moment. I don't have the piano like I normally do when we're at home to sit and play while I'm speaking. But we'll do an abbreviated version of our meditation. So let's begin that time here. Okay, so let's take a moment now, and as we begin our time together, connect with our breathing. Our breath is our connection with the spirit. The word breath in Latin actually is spirit. We get our word spirit from the Latin word for breath. And it's our connection with the infinite consciousness that is our true nature. So let's just take a moment and relax and breathe into this moment, feeling our connection with each other, with everyone in our movement, with this beautiful movement, the vegan movement to liberate animals and liberate humanity from 10,000 years of delusion and imprisoning and enslaving animals completely unnecessarily. Perhaps it was necessary 10,000 years ago, but we know that today it's obsolete and no longer necessary here for us today. So we give thanks for all of the colleagues working hard to help raise awareness about the many benefits of a vegan way of living in the world, and those who have gone before us in the past, those who will be joining us in the future. We give thanks for all the beautiful companions in this lifetime that we have, our friends and neighbors and partners and lovers and the other human beings we're sharing this earth with. And let's also now especially give thanks to all the animals, the beings we refer to as animals, the mammals and fishes and birds celebrating their lives on this lovely planet here, and who knows where we are, somewhere in space, and the enormous intelligence that is continually supporting all life here, including every cell and system in our own being. We give thanks for especially for the cows and pigs and chickens, the turkeys, ducks and geese and sheep and goats and fishes, the animals that we use as food animals, the animals who are suffering in factory farms and slaughterhouses, stockyards. We send our love and our apologies to them, especially feeling our connection also with all the animals who are abused for research and for entertainment, for clothing and other products, many kinds. And also the free living animals who are celebrating their lives but having their habitat be destroyed. So we hold them in our hearts also. And then the whole human family, all the indigenous people. We understand that the heart that shines in every being is a heart of loving kindness and awareness, celebration and of wisdom. And we see that every human being has the heart of kindness and compassion. We're all perhaps wounded by an obsolete system that hardens our hearts. And now we just open to the softening of the hearts of humanity. We see the hearts being switched on with a bright light, now illuminating the heart of every human being, illuminating the mind of every human being as we awaken to the truth that we have been given these beautiful gifts of bodies that require no animals to suffer, to get all the nutrients that we need to survive, to thrive, to celebrate here. And we see everyone awakening to this and talking to each other about it and sharing recipes, opening restaurants as the hospitals empty and all of the wars come to an end, and our war against nature and animals comes to an end. Just breathing now a sense of gratitude to everyone who has helped us in our journey to escape the prison of eating animal foods. Give thanks to all of those who have shined the light in our life. And we give thanks for every moment that we have to learn and to grow and to celebrate this earth. And so we give thanks for the opportunity that we have to help make this vegan movement stronger and to help breathe spiritual dimension into our movement, to help people who are vegans remember that it's more than just marching and speaking, that we also can refine our consciousness to exemplify compassion and ahimsa in all of our relationships with not only non-human animals, but with each other. Other human beings can be the greatest challenge. So we send our love to all human beings. May we always refine the way that we respond in situations. And finally, let us take some time to see the infinite light that shines at the heart of the universe, just entering through the top of our head and slowly flowing down through our entire body, bringing healing and joy and wisdom to every cell in our being, filling our entire head and neck and shoulders, our arms and hands, and streaming out through our fingers, flowing down through our chest and our upper back and down through our torso, all the way down into our hips, and just washing away any wounds or delusions, any lack and sense of fear or limitation, just washed away as this white light pours through all the way down through our pelvic region, into our legs, down through our legs, into our ankles, and into our feet, and just streaming out through the soles of our feet, through our toes, and seeing our whole body as a stream of light and wisdom and joy and zeal and creativity as we celebrate this life that we have as an opportunity every day to shine the light of compassion and wisdom, freedom into the infinite web of relations here. And as we close, we take a moment now to connect with the four dimensions of our true home, which are love, compassion, joy, and peace. Let's breathe together, inhaling and bringing into our body and mind the awareness, love and kindness and benevolence, letting that fill every cell in our being. As we exhale, we radiate loving kindness to every living being on this earth and beyond. It's breathing and radiating love with every exhalation, abiding in our true home of love and kindness. With every inhalation now we engender in our heart and in every cell of our being the feeling of compassion, yearning that others be free from suffering, and the yearning to act to help relieve the suffering of others, to take creative action, to be a blessing to others who are suffering. And with every exhalation we allow this feeling of compassion to radiate into every cell of our being, and out into the infinite web of relations. All beings be free from suffering and from all the causes of suffering. Abiding in our true home of compassion. With every inhalation, now we engender the feeling of joy. Our true nature is a bubbling spring of joy that's always present no matter what's happening in the outer world. So with every inhalation, we connect with that feeling of joy, bring it into every cell, and as we exhale, we radiate this feeling of joy, just allowing it to overflow from our hearts into all directions, and all beings filled with the truth, the true nature of all beings as joy that needs no reasons in the outer world, the joy of being. Abiding in our true home of joy. And finally, abide in peace, equanimity and harmony. And as we inhale, we allow this peace and harmony to fill every cell of our being. As we abide in this present moment, all we ever experience is this moment right now. We give thanks for all the past. Every single thing that's ever happened in our past, we give thanks for. It's brought us to this moment right now, which is divine perfection. We give thanks for this present knowing that from this moment we create the entire future. Power is right now. We're abiding in peace. We radiate peace into the world, into our future, into the future of all beings. We see a beautiful, positive future dawning for humanity and for all living beings. We see freedom and radiant wellness, abundance and joy. We see the whole earth now bathed in the light, peace and harmony and joy. Abiding in our true home of peace. Thank you all for joining together in our meditation. We abide together in love, in compassion, in joy, and in peace. Breathing and radiating love, compassion, joy, and peace. Understanding that our consciousness is never born and will never die. We are what makes physical body possible. So letting go of fear, letting go of the delusion of being a separate self, we embrace our mission, the unique mission that we have for this lifetime. And we give thanks knowing that we are all in a family that is supporting each other in fulfilling our mission for this lifetime. The benefit of all living beings of the past, present, and future. We give thanks, knowing that we are part of the awakening of humanity at this time, and we give thanks, knowing this is so. And so it is. Okay, bless you all, and here we go. We're back together, and I appreciate your abiding together in our meditation time. It's always good to remember the reason that we're on this earth is not merely to accumulate stuff or to make an impression or to have an image or to be accepted and loved by other people. We're here actually with a mission. Each one of us knows in our heart what that is. Nobody else does, but we know. And we can unfold it every day and understand it more clearly every day. And I think we inspire each other. And one of the people whose mission has been inspiring me for quite a few years is with us, Renee King Sonnen and her wonderful husband, Tommy, in their endeavors to really take responsibility for the quality of lives of cows and other animals that are viewed as livestock. And it's a tremendous, inspiring story that they have both gone through. I think a lot of you know the story because, Renee has been part of our community really for quite a few years. And she's well known in the animal rights movement for, bringing an educational ministry through, Facebook and YouTube videos and interviews and also through her sanctuary where so many people are making donations just to keep the hay and the veterinary bills and so forth. It's a huge challenge to have a sanctuary. It takes an enormous amount of work and perseverance and dedication. And these sanctuaries are like beacons in the darkness. They're places where animals are actually loved by human beings rather than be merely commodities that are bought and sold by the pound. And so the spirit of Renee, many years ago, rebelled, and she tells the story of how she saw the red wagon every 6 months, I think it was, taking cows off to be to their demise. And her heart went out to them, and she stamped her foot a few times. And through that, I call it in the World Peace Diet, the spirit of Sophia, the sacred feminine dimension of consciousness that cares about others and cares about life and yearns to love and nurture and protect life rather than exploit and oppress, as we're so often taught to do, or to just allow that to happen. And she stood up to make a difference. And so we're so glad that Renee is with us. And it's a big surprise. I didn't mention it in any of the emails that I sent out or anything like that. So this is a wonderful surprise. And hopefully it's not the last time. We're looking forward to having her with us again. So Renee joins us from, is it Angleton, I think, is the name of the town in Texas, the Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. And she is also the co-creator, I guess you'd say, of a new documentary film called Rowdy Girl, which is really new. It's just coming out. But I thought it'd be so great to just have the opportunity to hear a little bit from Renee about Welder, Texas. Thank you. And it's not too far from San Antonio. I know between San Antonio and in Austin, I guess, and Houston, in that area. And we were going through a few weeks ago, and she was in New York City as part of the work that she's doing to help promote the film, which is part of the keeping the sanctuary alive and thriving. So Renee, are you unmuted? Are you there? Are you with us?
Let's see. I am.
Yay!
Can you hear
you're
me?
Here. Great. Wonderful.
Hi.
I'm so glad you're with us, and you're always an inspiration, and I love that you have so many creative aspects to your being. You're a musician and a singer, and you're a wonderful video presence as well, and you can pitch hay and go down and hug cows and everything else. So can you tell us a little bit? I know everyone just know that you will have the opportunity to ask questions. Really, any time you can press *6 if you'd like to ask Renee a question about her sanctuary and her life. But I really want to encourage everyone to watch this new documentary film that's now going to be released. Can you just tell us a little bit about what inspired you to make the documentary film and when it's going to be released and so forth? That would be great.
Well, thank you so much, Will, and please give Madeline my love. Appreciate you so much inviting me to come on and for hearing the Rowdy Girl vision, you know, through my voice, because Rowdy Girl, the film, a lot of people think I'm Rowdy Girl, and I think what happened is Rowdy Girl, the cow, is like, I don't know where she ends and where I began. Whenever I began to hear her, that is when I started to kind of unravel as a cattle rancher's wife. And the film documents the process of it's really interesting. The documentarian is Jason Goldman. Jason Goldman is in New York, and he reached out to me because he was wanting to tell our story, and he never asked us for any donations. He never asked us for any money. He came and spent a lot of time, weeks at a time with us over the last 2.5 years, and just followed me around. And his style of documenting was not to interview me or Tommy. It wasn't to try to find some, you know, music to put on the film. It was to really capture the heartbeat of our mission through the what really is going on. So it's very observational, and the animals' sounds, their presence is really felt. You know, the part of the Rowdy Girl mission is to really inspire, educate, motivate, and change the hearts and minds of cattle ranchers, because we were cattle ranchers. And, you know, I don't see our story the way other people do, but the things I hear are like, gosh, you know, if a cattle rancher can do this in Texas, you know, there's hope for other cattle ranchers, you know. And so this film documents my kind of Texas grit. I'm a true Texan through and through. I'm kind of like steeped in conservative Christian, you know, backbone, but I'm this metaphysical, you know, girl that speaks in Sanskrit and has a Texas accent. So I tend to, you know, I can cross the aisle, if you will, and really speak to those people that really need the message of veganism. You know, Christian conservatives, cattle ranchers, you know, if we're just speaking to the choir, we're not gonna be able to affect the whole world. And so I think my niche, and I think the documentary is speaking to that, is that I tend to do that just naturally. And so, you know, and it also speaks to a lot of the hardships I've had. I had a pretty, there was some violence in my past, you know, and I speak candidly about it in the documentary, because it led me down a path of addiction that I was able to overcome. And, you know, it's very multifaceted, the documentary, and it's only an hour and 10 minutes. So he really got the essence of the rowdy girl story, I think. He really was able to pull together not only rowdy girl the cow, but also rowdy girl the former cattle rancher, and kind of roll us up into one story. So I thought he did that quite well.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. It's a very touching film. The photography is beautiful. I mean, the close-ups of the cows and the pigs and the chickens, the turkeys, you really get to see them as beings beyond just a form. But, you know, and I also think, of course, it's essential, one of your main messages really in the whole film is the rancher advocacy program, and how the chicken farmers that you're working with, I think up in, I'm not sure if they're in Arkansas or somewhere, how they were able to convert or transform that gigantic chicken coop into a mushroom growing facility. So they went vegan and they can make their living, because that's the underlying question, right, is, okay, you have these cattle ranchers or chicken farmers and pig farmers. They go vegan. What are they going to do? How are they going to make their living? And a few of them can do like you and Tommy and have a sanctuary, and boy, that's a lot of work. But a lot of them are going to try, have to figure out something else, grow another crop of some kind. And so I think it's beautiful that you show at least, you know, some possible alternatives that they can begin to explore. Because people do need to eat, and so we don't have to eat meat, we can eat other things. We need to eat mushrooms and vegetables and all kinds of things, grains. So that, I'm hoping, is going to be help really open up doorways for people to see that we can do these kinds of transformations.
Yeah, yeah. The whole Barrett story has been very much a part of my life for the last going on 5 years now. It's been up and down and up and down. And, you know, whenever I started working with them, they were about to lose the whole farm. They've got a little over 200 acres up in Wicks, Arkansas, and they were about to lose the whole farm. And they had 200 cows, you know, and they couldn't feed the cows. And so All I knew was I had to do whatever I could to help them. And so I drove up there 9 hours and did a big fundraiser so I could get them hay for their cows. And then I appealed to people that I know to see if we could help them further. And one thing has led to the other. And, you know, this is not for the faint of heart. We are, you know, we are deep in it. It's kind of like when you're a pioneer in a space like transitioning a cattle ranch and a chicken farmer's property into a mushroom farm that can not only pay off the debt that they have. I mean, they had massive debt. I mean, there's a couple of $1 million in this outfit, and part of it's philanthropy and part of it's, you know, investment that they're going to have to pay back. I mean, it's just part of the deal. And let me tell you, if we can pull this off and have a model, if we can show the industry that chicken farmers can transition out of that horrible industry where 100,000 chickens are processed every 52 days in these horrific conditions. And instead of 100,000 chickens, we're doing 100,000 pounds of mushrooms every 52 days. And we are supplying a plant-based economy with not only fresh mushrooms, but the specified ingredients that come out of these mushrooms that a lot of these plant-based companies and also extractors need for herbal combinations and whatnot. If we can pull this off, and I believe we can, but it's uphill right now. You know, we're in R&D where they are making mushrooms. They are doing it, but it's, God, you know, what chicken farmer wouldn't want to do that instead?
Right.
You know, what chicken farmer would want to do that? Yeah.
Yeah, they have I've been to some of these chicken farms. They're struggling. It's horrible. I mean, they're stuck. They're kind of like sharecroppers. You know, they have to buy from the big company and sell to the company, and they can barely make ends meet, and it's toxic and stinking and violence and hard to make ends meet for them. So it's really two things, I guess. It's the what you're doing, helping them to transition, and then we got to do our part, which is to get people to go vegan. So there's no demand for chicken. I mean, as long as there's a demand, then somebody's going to have to do it. So we've really got to reduce the demand. That seems, you know, that's critical. But if we reduce the demand, you know, then yeah,
we have to reduce the demand. And you know, the other side of it, I mean, I always look at it as a wheel with a bunch of spokes on it, you know, that it takes everything to make vegans happen. And our government right now is so, it's like no matter how much headway we make sometimes, the government is so invested in animal agriculture succeeding that it sometimes seems like no matter what we do, they're going to bail out, you know, farmers and give them subsidies and insurance and everything else. So, you know, the other thing that I do is I'm on the board of the Agriculture Fairness Alliance. And, you know, Connie's in Washington right now. My partner, she met with the USDA today, and she also met with congressional folks in Arkansas. In the Arkansas, Pennsylvania, and Georgia districts in the White House. And I'll be going to the White House the first week of March to meet with a lot of those conservative folks. And, you know, we're really trying to get our government to see, as we transition this chicken farm, that there is another way. And, you know, because nonprofits and foundations can't fund this work. Our government has to get involved if it's going to happen globally, if it's going to happen in big scale.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good one. That's interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. I know the government can make or break everything. And right now, of course, like you say, they're massive subsidies to the meat, dairy, and egg industries and to the pharmaceutical industry. They're kind of all linked together. And I think the vegan thing is they don't look at that like that's anything that they want to support. it's an interesting situation. I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts on that, but I think it's kind of a really interesting situation we're in. And I don't know with the new Congress if it's better or not. Couldn't be any worse. But hopefully, what I feel is there's just so much corruption, unfortunately, in politics you're up against. And so we have to do our local grassroots work. But subsidies and finding, I know, it's really it's a huge thing. So we'll see. I mean, we have lots of other things. It's kind of like sometimes I think it's kind of like we're analyzing everything, but we're also on the Titanic at the same time. There's like the whole system could go through such massive changes that all of a sudden everything is totally different in a year or two. I mean, it's hard to know what next year is going to look like. I mean, even 6 months from now, changes happen on such a massive scale so fast. We're in really in a time, unprecedented time, and of course there's these looming food shortages, and so all these things. I think it's going to really need a lot more localized food production, probably, and there's a lot there to talk about. If you have any more thoughts on that, Renee, I'd also like to just see if anyone has any questions or comments about all this, because this is really the heart and soul of our movement, actually, of veganism, to try to liberate animals and to try to also give the farmers something else that they can do. And this, of course, like I've been saying, we've all been saying, we need to eat, so farmers have to transition, but we need to help them do that as well. So I want to kudos to you, Renee, for actually rolling up your sleeves and actually helping some farmers actually transition. There's been some other ones in California and other places that have done some transitioning, but we really need to do that more, figure out how to do that. So I just want to see, just raise your hand or unmute your phone if you want to ask a question or say something, because it's a good opportunity. We've got Renee here.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, thanks. Is someone else talking?
Okay, go ahead, Susan. You go first and then Andy. Yeah, go ahead, Susan.
Thank you. Well, it is fantastic. I'm so glad you had Renee on to really, it really brings out clearly to me, what you're doing, Renee. I mean, because I've heard before, but I mean, it's like Will is saying that with all the corruption in government, and with you saying you're going to go, your partner's in D.C., and you're going to go, I mean, how do you deal with talking to these people, these lobbyists and these congressional people, and think that, they're going to hear you? It's just they'll hear you if they want to hear you, and it's just whatever they want to hear, but, I mean, it sounds daunting. How do you anticipate talking to them, and how do you know so much about, what do you feel like you have to have learned about politics to be able to do this?
Well, that's a good question. If you don't know the Agriculture Fairness Alliance, they're a 501c4. It is a vegan-backed lobbying group, and you can make your voice count in their, we got a vegan voter hub, and I think there's 1,500 people signed up already. The more we get, the better, but one of the things that we're doing, Connie and I were in a meeting one day, I'm on the board and I keep hearing, the USDA, the USDA, the USDA is so big, the USDA. And I said, why don't we get together with all of these, fruit growers, plant growers, wheat growers, these big companies that, represent fruit, vegetables, and grains, and why don't we create an entity as big as the USDA whether they're vegan or not, and start pushing back on the USDA. So we're doing that. We're creating a, we're actually doing that, and it's working. And you know, what we're doing in, what Connie has found out in Washington is that, you know, the ones that are making the impact, behind the Iron Curtain of Washington are the ones that go there. If only the cowboys, the conservative cowboys show up, that's what shapes our government. But Connie and I have a vision that we are going to start getting a vegan presence there. She wants to, you know, cultivate vegan lobbyists in Washington so that we can start, you know, spanning the halls of Washington, D.C. And Connie just became a lobbyist, you know. So, you know, we've got two hired lobbyists, and you just got to show up, you know. And when I joined the board about 5 years ago, it was because of the Rancher Advocacy Program. She wanted me on the board because as a former cattle rancher turned vegan, she wanted my influence to help on the conservative Christian side, which, you know, really needs to be done, you know. And so that's what we're doing. I just show up and start talking. It's, you know, and Connie is brilliant. Connie is so smart. You know, with all the subsidies and what's really going on, she can talk that all day long. She's actually got a counter on her website, on our website, that actually can tell you what the farmers and ranchers are getting in subsidies across the board. You can put all this data in and you can find out who's getting the money. And, it's quite telling, you know. So
great.
There you go. You're just gonna go up doing it.
You're gonna put it, you gotta just kinda put on your big swamp boots and walk, wade in there and hope for the best. Yeah. Well, no, you're right. I'm sure you're right.
I mean,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to, all right. Well, good. Did you ever know Howard Lyman?
Oh yeah, of course. He's the one I called. He's the one I called when, Tommy wasn't vegan yet and I hadn't been vegan long. It was on Christmas Eve of 2014. When I finally got a hold of him, because he would never answer my phone call. I didn't know how famous he was. But, you know, I just knew I was losing my mind, and Tommy was going to sell all the cows. And so he finally answered on Christmas Eve, you know, and I couldn't believe it. And so he pretty much told me that I needed to practice the same compassion that I was practicing on the animals on my husband, because I wasn't very nice to Tommy at that time. I was pretty mean and calling him a murderer every day and crying and carrying on. I really wore veganism on my skin back then. I couldn't believe how much I'd been lied to. And so when I finally got a hold of Dr. Howard Lyman, I was just giving him all kinds of hell about what Tommy was doing to me and how he was. And he kind of set me straight, you know, and helped me see Tommy, in a different light. And I've met Howard Lyman on a couple of occasions and he's on my speed dial. I can call him anytime.
Oh, great. Yeah. He was a lobbyist, in Washington too for the organic lobby. And but he said what he learned was that in Washington D.C. they just follow the golden rule. Those who have the gold make the rules.
Yeah.
So, I already know.
I don't really know what to, honestly, we just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Exactly.
What else are we going to do?
Good. Well, I salute your spirit. Andy, did you still have something you'd like to mention or ask?
Hi, sorry. Yeah, I was just going to try to get some light in here. Yeah, I was just curious. I think maybe I've heard of you, but do you offer anything like if people wanted to visit and stay there and volunteer or anything like that? Or on your property?
We have two places here where RVs can go. Right
okay.
now they're both being used. We have a RV that we own that is used like by an employee that might come and work here. Currently we have somebody that's working for 3 months here. She's got her RV hooked up to that little place. But we only have those two right now. So
is there space for other people if they want it, or?
Yeah, Andy has a, you have a van, right? You have an RV.
Right, I just have a minivan. I have a Toyota Sienna that is, you know, I've turned into camper. But so that's what I'm wondering is, I don't know if you have anything like that where people can come in, because it sounds like you've already got your set space. I don't know if you had extra space or is there a whole procedure involved if people wanted to come there and stay and volunteer?
We don't really have anything like other than those two, because we don't have like the septic and all for all that. We just have the two locations. We're pretty rustic out here. We got 147 acres out here, and we have 124 animals, 67 of them are cows. And so, I mean, people volunteer all the time, but they don't come in and stay here.
Oh, so are you, how far a drive are you from, like, the nearest town?
Oh, well, like, there's Lockhart. It's not 30 minutes away. I mean, a Welder is just up the road. You could bring your van and park it, I guess, at one of those, what do you call those things where people park their RV park? I mean,
oh.
I guess you could do something like that.
Yeah. Got
Is
it.
That what you mean? For me? Like, we just
well,
don't have
just
the, we just don't have the capacity.
So you're probably not near any major city, right?
Yeah, Austin.
Oh, how long a drive are you from Austin?
An hour.
Okay. No, that's interesting. Okay, yeah. I'll have to consider that. Thank you so much. And
yeah, people volunteer here all the time. I mean, we have a strong volunteer culture here. We have a big volunteer day, February the 11th. Every year we have our heartworking volunteer day. People come and volunteer, and it's an awesome time. We'll probably be rattling off one of Dr. Tuttle's books.
Well, I give those away quite often.
Uh-huh.
So thank you so much. Okay.
Sure thing.
Great. When is the, actual, documentary going to be formally released? Do you know about it? Anything about that when people can actually watch it?
What I know about that is Jason is he's really keen on doing private screenings right now because he's shopping major film festivals. He wants to get a what do you call those whenever the film festival picks it up and they do a he wants to do it right. And so if you just start putting it out there publicly everywhere, the major film festivals don't want to pick them up, you know. So he's doing everything privately right now. And one of the things, too, that's really cool about the film, I think, Will, you can tell me, but you saw the part whenever I talked to that cattle rancher, Sonny, about Buster. You know,
yes.
Buster, the...
Yeah, that was cat. Good. Right.
Wasn't that something? I mean, that's the mentality of these cattle ranchers that I talk to all the time is they love animals and they farm them and they really do. And a lot of the things that vegans don't understand is cattle ranchers are really locked into a belief system that, you know, it requires people like Tommy and I to be able to get in and talk to them so that we can kind of unlock that stronghold inside of them so that they can see the truth, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's so interesting. He says he respects you. It's great what you're doing, but he keeps it at an arm's length. he loves that little calf.
Wow.
Oh, that little calf. Just he loves that little calf so much, but he's going to let you. You can take care of the little calf, and he's got to go do business now. But you know, you're planting seeds all the time. You're planting seeds.
And his partner. Donated $2,000 to Rowdy Girl Sanctuary this year because we're building a big 100-foot by 80-foot house for all of our cows. That was our big fundraiser this year. And his partner donated $2,000. Cattle ranchers donate to us.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Good for you. That's incredible. Wow. Well, you've been very generous with your time. I don't want to take too much more. Are there any last questions anyone has or comments for Renee? Madeline's here. She wants to say hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, Madeline. Good to see you.
Hi, everybody. Yeah. Good to see you.
Good to see you. You too, hon. You too.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's see. Looks like Lisa and Joy Grace, you have a question? Go ahead and unmute.
Okay, so not a question, but we drove through Texas together, and we kept saying how, you know, things would really change when the cattle ranchers could shift and start doing something else. So the fact that you have something that is a start, this is so awesome. So we're really excited. I think we get to see it at Hippocrates. Is that right? That we're going to get to watch the film?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a private screening of this film a week from this Sunday. We've gotten permission to do a private screening of the film. So we'll do that right here. They have a great, you know, a big screen, and right after dinner. And I'll do a Q&A afterwards. If we can figure out the logistics, I'm not sure of doing a Zoom. Maybe we can even have Renee join us for that. If that's a possibility, we'll have to see.
Of course, Jason and I could. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, as someone who grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, just up the street from the stockyards, and was a master barbecuer for a long time. Really thank you for showing that there's other things that we can now do. So it's really exciting that there's something else that we can do. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Of course. And I put our, the link to our website in there, and I also included, we do a quarterly newsletter called Dispatch from the Ranch. It's just a lot of very value added, you know, just what's going on in our world. And I put that newsletter in there so that y'all can take a look at what we're doing in our work. And if you'd like to subscribe to our newsletter, that's always appreciated. So
great. I'll send that out to everybody on our list, the link to your sanctuary. It's really good to get on the mailing list for the Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, and then Renee will let you know when the film is available to be seen and all that. Right now, it's unfolding.
Yeah, Jason and I would love to be, you know, at the Q&A, of course. I mean, okay. Jason's an amazing, amazing person to talk to, and Moby is the executive producer of this film.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow. So Moby's behind it, it sounds like. Has he seen it yet? Has Moby actually seen what you've done?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's seen it all the way. He's been a part of it all the way through.
All the way through, yeah. Good.
Well, almost.
Okay, one more. Yeah, go ahead, Andy.
Thank you so much. I forgot. I'm assuming it's okay to ask this, but I don't want to assume that I know the answer. Have you followed any of the lockdown orders, like mask requirements, tests, vaccines, any of that for people to come and volunteer?
We don't do that here.
You never do any of that?
No, we don't need to do that here.
That is, okay, you are now the only place I know that does not follow the government orders then. Thank you so much. I'm going to have to somehow make it out there and volunteer because I've been deprived of volunteering for 3 years now because all these crazy places have been following orders. So thank you so, so much. That is fabulous. Okay.
We don't do that here. Thank you, though. Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome.
Renee is for freedom. For all beings. Great. Well, that's a good question. So, thanks so much, Renee. It's so good to see your beautiful, shining rancher face there. And for sharing a little bit more about the film and about what you're doing. I highly recommend everybody get on the mailing list for Renee. And Renee has also been a strong proponent of the World Peace Diet. I think you read the whole World Peace, big major sections, right, on the World Peace Diet on...
I've read that book about 3 times all the way through.
Right, and you were reading
it
publicly, too.
I read it publicly to our followers, the whole book.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you're one of us, for sure. Yeah. All right, well...
I quote it all the time. I always quote, you will, always. Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks so much. We have a little bit of time left, and I really appreciate it. It's been a great visit. And give our love to Tommy and to everybody, Alla, and to Rowdy Girl. And we'll look forward to staying in touch. And I'll let you know if you can join us on Zoom, you and Jason. I'll try to figure that out.
Yeah, we'll do that. All right. Thank you
great.
So much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
thanks. Yeah, bye-bye. All right. Wow. Yeah, I remember talking to Renee in the dark days of COVID, back in the summer of 2020. And at first she was kind of going along a little bit. She thought, oh yeah, it's dangerous, but it became pretty obvious to her pretty early on that it's a big hoax. She understands all that. It's a big scam. So she's aware of that. So you can definitely go there and don't have to worry. She's definitely on our side on that. She understands.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. That's it. We were at her sanctuary when it was in the other place. They moved, I think, about a year and a half ago maybe to a new place. So we haven't been to the new place yet, but it looks beautiful on the film. It looks really nice. The other one was flooding too much, so she moved farther inland. And it's not far from Austin or from San Antonio, and it's not even that far from Houston. It's really in kind of a pretty good location that way. But all right, so does anyone have any other comments or questions or anything you'd like to share with our group before we have some time? I have a few things I'm happy to talk about. We've had a lot happening the last month, but you have something, Andy? Or?
I could ask questions all day. I don't know if you feel like if this is something to bring up here, but regarding videoing, I've been wanting to do some videos also, and my phone is always completely over storage, and the thought of getting a new phone, I don't know what people think here of getting the whole, extra phone, or Will, I don't know what you do for doing videos and things. I have an iPhone, and I've heard about this above phone, but I'm also a super slow learner. I hate the thought of sticking with one of these phones that can track and trace, but those are at least the places where I can get help. So any thoughts on either the phone or what people are doing with their money? And if I can bring up something quickly, I got in the mail a few weeks ago that one of my banks sent me a letter saying my account has been dormant or something, and if you don't do something to start, you know, taking action and doing something with them, your money will be removed and go to the state if you haven't used it for like 3 years. And I was like, what? And I called my bank right away, and I've had this bank account for like 12 years, and this has never happened before. So they say you have to be moving money in your account, and I already am using my checking account. I pay my car loan there, all these different things. But two accounts were just like accruing money, the savings and the money market. So I called them. They said, that's okay. We'll resolve it for you. We'll do something, and we'll just say, okay, no, it's okay. We've changed it to, you know, we won't send your money to the government. And so then I got two more notices in the mail, and I called them today. And they said, oh, they must have forgotten to do that, but we'll move like $5 into a different account just so you have some movement. And the bank informed me that it's not a bank policy. This is a government policy that if you don't have some kind of action within your accounts, each of your accounts, like if you have checking, savings, and money market, each of your accounts, that ideally, you know, they can just say, okay, it's dormant now, it's considered unclaimed, and they can just send it off to the government, all your money in your bank accounts.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, so actually, I can talk about that, because I have experience with that. And actually, it's actually not as bad as you're making it out to be, I don't think, at the moment. Although, not to say that the banking system isn't really bad, it is, but but this particular thing is not new. This is not new. Like 10 years ago, we have several different accounts, and with one bank, I have a checking account and a savings account. And we used the checking account all the time, and the savings account, we never did anything. And
right.
So, yeah, so if nothing happens over, I can't remember, 4 years or some number of years, we got a notice. It happened way back in like 2004 or whatever. You know, they'd say, you know, if you don't do something, we're going to give it to the state. It's a long time rule. And so you just have to do something, transfer a few dollars, and then
right.
even if it's an account, even if you have another a different account with the same bank, they still have that. It's a regulation. So it's not a new kind of something Klaus Schwab thought up or something like that. but on the other hand, I do think that we should be all of us very aware of our accounts, and because there's definitely major. They're telling us that there's going to be CBDC, central bank digital currency. They're going to try to roll that out. I mean, they will roll it out if there aren't huge protests, and that will definitely change everything. So it's probably a good idea, I would say, to be aware of that, and when that happens, then whatever savings you have in the bank accounts will suddenly be in a different denomination. Probably it won't be dollars anymore, or it'll be percentages. You get a certain percentage. You may get only, who knows, 10% or 50% or whatever. And it'll be an account in a central bank. The globalists are talking about this so much that they're saying it's going to, it's sort of like they're talking about like it's already been done. But I don't think, it may not happen. Hopefully there's forces that will stop it. But the more we can use cash, people should really keep using cash as much as possible. And I do think it's a good idea to have funds, if you have savings, to have your savings in something other than just sitting in a bank account. Number one, you're not going to be getting much interest, but maybe in some kind of either gold, silver, or land, or property of some kind that is in your name, because suddenly the money that is sitting in these accounts could more or less be drastically reduced in value. And it'll be an emergency. They'll say it's an emergency. You know, it's an emergency. We have mm-hmm. to do it and so forth. So there's quite a lot of evidence about this, and people I respect like Catherine Austin Fitz and other people are talking about
it,
and they have a lot of experience. And we saw what has been happening, I think anyway, with the Bitcoin, and you know, a lot of people lost huge amounts of money in those things, and it's sad, but these things happen. So it's good to, it's like with our health, you know, we have to be savvy, we have to, don't just trust whatever the experts say and look behind, a little bit behind the scenes and what's going on. And the same thing I think is true with energy, with food. As vegans, we're already doing that. We're not just eating the meat, dairy, and the eggs. And it's the same thing with finances. I mean, finance is one of the hugest rackets there is. I mean, they make it, when you make a loan at the bank, they just create money out of thin air. And then you have to pay them back. And if you don't pay back the money that they created out of thin air, then they'll take your house. They'll take your business. They'll just take it. Then they'll sell it, you know. I mean, it's just crazy that this system, that nobody.
Well, can you, I already pay cash for just about everything. I don't know if you can see this. I actually created this little card. It's keepcashalive.com. Yeah, and then on the back I've got the resources of like Catherine Austin Fitz and Matt Fegan and I think Larkin Rose. But I am terrible at figuring out the whole what do I do with my money. I don't know if you have a suggestion on where you learn or how you learn, like, you know, if I wanted to get it out of savings, because I have a couple different bank accounts and different things. So where can I learn that would be a trustworthy, not only site, but how to put it in there? And I'm wondering if maybe you want to teach something on that, like on a Zoom thing where we could ask questions and it could be focused on that.
Okay. I'm unfortunately, I don't consider myself a great expert in that field. And, of course, when you start looking at the financial situation, there's not a lot of, from my point of view, I wouldn't put it really into stocks or bonds or savings. I mean, the usual place, real estate might be good, but the predictions are that real estate could be, markets could really collapse too. If there's a huge die-off of human beings, which is sad to say, but if they're culling the herd more or less, then there's going to be too many houses and things. I mean, you know, it's when you start thinking about like the consequences of what is being rolled out, it's sort of like the most important thing is to have food and access to food and land perhaps and things that people things to trade. You know, it's going to be probably a lot of bartering perhaps.
Yeah.
So it's probably good to just think in those terms and. Like silver, right? Like nickels, dimes, quarters, halves, and silver dollars, all that stuff. You can get it right now. You know, you can just go and get it and then.
Okay. So you're saying, so someone was telling me though that all of the current change, because I'm using change all the time, I'm always paying cash, that it's not worth anything after a certain year or something, after maybe 1964 or something. And so, because I didn't know, like, even if you have any investments, like, where do you go? You know, because I have two credit union accounts, and then I have a very tiny investment account that I lost just about everything in, and I'm like, okay, what do I do with it so that I'm not losing? And I don't even know where to, like, okay, I have to admit this. I'm ashamed to admit it because I did this before. This whole lockdown, and I knew better. The little bit of money I have was in Vanguard and Beyond Meat because I was looking for a vegan thing to invest in, and so that's where I lost all my money. So it's great that it's going down. It's bad that I lost the majority of my money there, but I'd like to see them. You know, I just wanted to invest in something vegan, but where do I pull it out? Like, I know Vanguard. Is there some other, like, investment place that's trustworthy, like online or any place. I just literally don't know. Are there other, there's got to be other places outside of Vanguard that are, you know, respectable.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I would hate to give advice and then have you lose your money, so I'm not going
to
say anything. I don't know what's trustworthy. I really don't know what's trustworthy. I think there's people that make claims about different things. I see them. I've watched some of their videos. There's a guy named Jim Rickards, you know, that he says things are happening, and you know, there's quite a few people. But I do think that metals, like when I say dimes, nickels, quarters, and so I'm talking about silver. It's not, has nothing to do with what you're, with change. It's silver.
Oh,
it's silver.
Okay.
It's the weight of silver.
Okay.
It's silver. It's got nothing to do with change. You can go to a gold and silver, store and you can buy silver. You can buy, you know, silver bars, or you can buy nickels, dimes, and quarters that are all silver, the good old silver stuff. And you're just basically buying silver because it's great for bartering and for using. Currency, because the whole idea really is that it's basically veganism is self-sufficiency also. Veganism is harmony with nature, harmony with animals, and reconnecting with our sovereignty and the sovereignty of animals. So that means not relying on centralized tyrannical systems, especially of food, which is giving us toxic food and energy, which they control, and information and coinage, money. When they control the coinage, then they really, in many ways, they have a tremendous ability to exploit and dominate us. So the whole idea among a lot of people is to try to have alternative currencies that are locally based, and one that's universal. And Catherine Austin Fitz actually has a thing on her website where she says everybody just start using silver. You know, start buying things. You can convert on her website. Like if you want to buy something for $37, what is that? In silver, that's like a nickel and a dime or something, you know, in silver. And start using that as a currency. We could start that already.
You mean just trade with other people?
With people, right. Or with stores that are open to that, you know, because silver is always valuable. You know, I mean, silver and gold. Gold, the thing with gold is it's just so valuable. I mean, gold is good if you're going to buy, you know, like a car or a computer or whatever, something with a few thousand dollars. But silver is, you know, it's very small and easy. So I think these things will be happening. I mean, the other thing is, of course, what I like to do also is just to emphasize the importance of doing the inner work of meditation and working with in the outer work also to help create a transition that's not going to be a huge collapse, but a collapse is maybe going to happen. I mean, it could very well happen. I mean, civilizations have collapsed before when they're based on corruption and violence, and it could happen. And if it does, we're going to have to respond, right, in some way. And it's good to just be aware of these things and not be afraid, but just think, okay, this will be exciting. We'll have a new opportunity and see how we can do it, how we can grow our own food, how we can trade with people. And figure out and get to know our neighbors and work together wherever we are. And I think a lot of people are going to be, more and more people I think are going to be moving to Florida. Did you see the legislative package that DeSantis has just introduced in Florida, which is amazing? I mean, he's making a law that in the state of Florida, you can never legislate ever wearing masks. Or a vaccine, that people will never have to take a vaccine if they don't want to, that employers will never be able to require vaccination status for employment, that doctors will never be subject to any censorship. They can always say whatever they think.
You know, they're
going to put all this into law in Florida.
Oh. So he's proposed it, but it hasn't passed.
Passed. He's proposed it. I'm just saying. Just proposed it. So when it passes, that'll be something else. But anyway, these are propositions. But the idea is that the only reason he's able to do that is because there's a lot of people in Florida that are awake, more than any other state, and so he's able to do that. I mean, it's not just happening in a vacuum. The people here really are informed, and they're standing up, and they're making you know, a big stink about it. It's happening. So, and we visited our friends that we had on the call. Is somebody talking? Oh, it's getting late too. I just want to mention we did visit our friends Chantal and Martin. They were on the call about 6 months ago, I guess it was, and we went to their land near Tallahassee. They've got a lot, I think 100 acres or something. It's a lot of land. That they want to make into a vegan sanctuary, or vegan community, I guess. But basically, they're not.
How was that? Because
if people are interested, you can go and visit and talk to them and see what you think. They're wonderful people, and they're just kind of open. They don't have any big, business plan about it or anything. It's just, they're just doing the best they can to create. They put in solar. They're planning. They've got a lot of food growing. They've just installed a tiny house. They've got a trailer. You know, it's slowly happening. And they would like, to, if it's the right people, to have other vegans come on the land and live there.
Is there a website? I had thought about that. I remembered that. Is there a website? Because I'm curious what the year-round weather is there, like in winter, because they're probably off-grid somewhere, right?
They have power there, but they also have solar. They want to transition over to solar. Yeah, I mean they don't really have a website. I don't think you could email her and talk to her. They don't really want to make a public thing. That's my impression I got. They don't want to like make a big banner and say everybody here we are, come on out. They want people who are the right people to just find it somehow. You know. So
do you have their email?
Yeah, I can give you their email. She's happy to give it. I could maybe even put it here in the text if I have time to look it up. She'd be happy to correspond with you.
That's been in the back of my mind.
Yeah, it's basically, it's Florida, so it's, it's not...
Is it mosquito land also?
I would say probably some. I mean, there weren't many when we were there, but it was kind of chilly. But they seem happy there. They're from Canada, so to them, to them it's really warm and great. But I'll go ahead and let's see. They're calling it Monticello Gardens. They're in the town of Monticello, and I'll put her email right here, right now, so we have it. And you can see it. So that's the email.
Hey, Will. Can you hear me? It's Margie.
Yes, Margie. Yeah, Margie's been there. Margie maybe is there right now, even. I don't know.
I've been there, and I just came over to Texas. I'm actually not far from Austin.
Wow.
For the Greater Reset.
Oh, cool.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, which I was, there was a couple people speaking. One on the benefits of meat, and then another vegan. And I was like, Will should be speaking here. And then someone said that you did speak there a few years ago.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need you back. I thought that too.
But it's been really great, very inspiring. And now and Renee was so inspiring. So I'll be going back to Monticello next week and spending time on the land. So I'm happy to talk to Andy or anyone. Because I'm just...
That's good. Yeah, maybe, can you put your email in, too, in the chat there, maybe?
Sure.
And because Margie spent, she spent a lot of time there. Margie's got a nice little van that she lives in and was up there with them, so she knows a lot.
Yeah, I'm just getting to know it, but like you said, really brand new. They're trying to figure things out. I'm happy to talk to anyone about it, to let you know what little I know about the land and the community and the climate. And it was so amazing to have you visit, Will and Lisa and Joy Grace and Madeline.
Right. Yeah, it was great.
Excuse me, my video I'm sorry, my video disappeared. Who was speaking and how can we contact you?
That's Margie Wood, and she's a World Peace Eye facilitator who lives full time in a van. She also lives up north, part of the year, but she's down here in Florida. Now she's in Texas. But yeah, and Margie's going to put her email up. Yeah, now it's up. It's up.
Okay, for some reason my whole video thing disappeared. Oh wait, shoot. My whole video thing disappeared and I can't get access to the chat area.
Okay, well I'll send it to you if you don't have it. Don't worry. You can just send me an email.
Okay, well thank you so much. I can hear you guys, but I can't see anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Don't worry. So you can get it. So does anyone else have any final thoughts or questions about this or something totally unrelated? We have, you know, so much more we could be talking about actually, but the time is getting close. But it's really been very interesting. Please make sure you have a chance if you can to check our January 2023 resources. There's some great interviews. I did an interview with Chef AJ, one with this woman, Ariane Summer, of the Superhumanized. I just think they're great people. And we also gave a talk for the Health Freedom and Animal Liberation people in Temecula, California, who are now at the Greater Reset down in Mexico. And the video of that is up as well. And then there's lots of different articles, as usual, that I think are really important. Lots of really interesting things have been happening over the last month, which you can see if you go through these resources, both in the vegan movement. There's been lots of progress, I think, really, in many ways. The work of Dan Buettner, we see it even where we live in Lake County. The Blue Zones movement is really moving into mainstream and getting people to question eating meat and dairy and eggs, and I think that's a healthy thing. And then there's a lots of resources about what's been happening with the rollout of the vaccines and the disaster that's happening. You know, there's really a lot of important information. So please, you know, have a look at that. And is there anything else anybody would like to add before we, it's just about time to kind of wrap it up here, but I'm happy to see if there's anything else. So there's Judy. You get your camera on. Hi. Good to see you, Judy. And I know you're working hard for the animals, and this is everybody. It's so good to know. And I wanted to check with, I don't know if Chrissy still here. I know when you get a new book coming out, there's a 10 million things to do, and it's never enough. You probably think that you could always be doing more. But you want to say anything to us about the rollout of your new book?
Sure, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm here. This is my book.
There it is. Yeah, Marrying Myself.
It came out last November. So yeah, it's out in the world. I'm doing a few book club discussions and one in Nashville and one in Charleston, South Carolina next month. So if you have a book club and would like me to come lead a discussion, definitely feel free to reach out. Happy to, come there and, lead that and talk veganism. For those of you who aren't familiar, my book is women's fiction, so it's a fun story. You know, it's not heavy, but it has a vegan protagonist and just a deeper message about self-love and figuring out who we are. And veganism, as you know, is so intertwined with that whole message. And as you know, I dedicate in my acknowledgments, acknowledge all of the animals, human and non-human, who desire, as we all do, safety, happiness, and the freedom to live out their lives without interference. And I also, say, as the last line of the acknowledgments, may each and every one of us be free. And I think the casual reader will assume that's referencing the non-human animals, which it is, but of course it's also referencing us humans in these days of, lockdowns and virus scares and, big pharma, right. Authoritarian world. So The book's doing well. I don't know precise numbers on sales. You know, I'll be fine. I think I get those quarterly, so I don't know numbers, but reviews definitely go a long way. So if you're able to post a review of the book on Amazon, that's probably the most helpful thing you could do to get the word out. And again, I'm excited. You know, I'm excited at having a book out, but I'm also excited at injecting veganism into the world of mainstream women's fiction. Oh, and actually, I have a Zoom call tomorrow with a woman from the National Health Association, which hosts an annual conference. She's interested in having me come promote the book and also my Vegan Posse podcast at the conference this summer. So I've never been to that conference before. So if anyone has any experience with that, I'd love to hear about it, and maybe I'll see you there. That's it.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chrissy. Glad to hear it. That's great about the National Health Organization.
Yeah, I think that'll be a cool collaboration.
Right. Okay, well, thanks everyone for joining us on our third Thursday call here in January 2023.
One thing I forgot to mention.
Yes.
I was on the Our Hen House podcast.
Oh, good.
And I'm also going to be on Victoria Moran's podcast.
Good.
So definitely check that out if you'd like to hear more.
Excellent. Great. Good for you. That's good to hear. Okay, well, let's say our prayer together. It's been a wonderful to see you all, and we really appreciate all your efforts. You all know how it goes, so we can say it. Go ahead and unmute your phones if you'd like, or your screens, so we can hear each other, and we'll see you all in a couple of weeks. Here we go. Compassion encircles the earth, all beings everywhere. Compassion encircles the earth, all beings everywhere. One more time, here we go. Compassion encircles the earth, all beings everywhere. So it is, absolutely. Love you. Thank you, everyone. Go forth and multiply the message. And we'll see you on the first of February, first Thursday. All right.
Thank you so much, Bill, everyone.
Okay.
Lisa Marie Presley.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Night. Bye.